Here we go. I just want to say this to you guys. Last Sunday, Christine made a plea the 2 weeks ago for you to try to be here. And most everybody was here last week. It was really good. We had our friends from Texas in, and we told you, you know, that God put us in touch with them through crazy circumstances. We did not know what we were going to go through when we met them, and how that all came together was really a miracle. And they had such nice things to say about you guys as we had a conference with them Friday, as we do every Friday. They're really helping us through the hardest time of our lives, losing our daughter. And I just, you know, they are so smart. They really are. And I just said, you know, I don't ever want to give up my Sundays here. And I've done church at a really big places and had opportunities to be a part of some really big things. But something about this body of believers right here is I just keep coming back to this. So, man, just to get to say this is our church family, and this is why we love this place, and this is why we want to be right here. It was so good. But they loved you guys and thought, you guys are in such good care. So I told him this week, I said, Brad, I just threw something out there. I said, I want to say this to you and Karen. I don't want to fool myself. I'm in the most pain I've ever been in my whole life. Yet Sunday is not out of duty for me. I love Sunday. I need Sunday. Our family needs family, because you're just like our family to us. And I said, but I also don't want to fool myself. I said, that was somewhat of a typical Sunday that we have, but I don't want to fool myself. And I don't ever want to, because if you're down, here's human nature. If you're down and people love you, for a while they're going to be gracious. But in you, as human nature goes, after a while, you can't stay pitiful forever. That's just, I don't care how much you love somebody, that's just human nature. But that being said, I said, Brad, how am I doing? You tell me how I'm doing. Am I okay? Am I as good as I think I am doing? And he said, I think you are, but you've got to allow yourself time off. My pastor told me that at the very beginning. You've got to allow yourself time off. And I gave myself like 3 weeks, and it wasn't enough. And because the wonderful truth about this place is we have several voices in this congregation that can stand right up here and do exactly what I do. And it will never be about, this whole thing will never be about me and you putting our hands together. It's about lifting our hands up to him. This is not a personality-driven church. It can't be. But with that, there are some Sundays that I'm going to miss, and probably more than I've ever missed. I know it. I know I've already looked at my calendar this morning. More than I've ever missed, I'm going to miss. And I'm going to do something just for me. And my wife is all for it, and she's so excited. And I'm excited about it, but it's something that goes against my, John, you got to get up and go to church on Sunday training in the way I was raised. How many of you know that there's things that mama taught you that stay with you your whole life? And even when I'm on vacation, I don't miss Sundays. I almost always come back because I love it. It is not out of duty. And I feel bad because I know that we've got people here that can speak, and I don't let them because I love too much. But I'm going to let them, and I'm going to be gone. I had an incredible opportunity happen a few weeks ago. Somebody called me. For the first time in my life, I put in for an Arizona elk tag. Okay, this has got nothing to do with church for a minute, so. So if you don't like hunting, I'm sorry. But I do, and I've done it my whole life. Well, I didn't draw the tag. It's a huge lottery. I didn't draw. I had all these preference points. I thought for sure I would draw. Well, my friend called me. He said, did you draw? And I said, no, I didn't. Try again next year, I guess. And he said, would you go if the opportunity presented itself? I said, let's go this afternoon. He said, no, but if you can wait till September, we're going to go to New Mexico. He bought two trophy bull elk tags for me and for him, and we're going. And it's all expenses paid. Yeah. I'm going to cheer. I cheer for everybody. I believe that we're supposed to do. I believe we're supposed to celebrate together. I believe we're supposed to grieve together. I believe we're supposed to go. And I'm going through this thing with my wife, and I'm telling y'all, it's hard every day. It is hard every day. For 8 months, it's been the hardest thing ever. And somehow or another, we circle the wagons. We do what we've got to do. And I'm just giving you like a monthly progress report. We're doing okay. But it hasn't stopped being hard. And that's all I can tell you. This grief is one of the hardest things. It's so hard to see your wife just fall apart. It's hard to see your son fall apart. It's hard to see your daughter fall apart. It's hard to see yourself fall apart. And I'm the dad, and I'm trying to hold everybody together. There's something about when something happens to her, it touches me. I'm going to talk about that in just a couple minutes. That we are so wonderfully made that there is something that happens when you see someone else going through it. Your mind actually goes to that, and you do that with them. We'll talk about that. It's a very powerful thing. It's a very important thing for us to realize in our lives. But that's where we're at. And Christine said grieving this week. She said grieving is the hardest thing to do because it takes so much out of you, and there's no reward for it. There's no scene ending to it. And so you guys just keep loving us and keep praying for us and keep supporting us. And it means the world to us. Okay? Is that all right? And wish me luck because it's archery. And sorry, Brent. I'm going to rub it in. It is the chance of, it literally is the chance of a lifetime to get to do what I'm going to get to do, and I'm going to be excited about it. But you will be well taken care of while I'm away. I've got some that are going to speak in the church, and you will love that. If you have your Bible, you can actually, you know what? You can turn and follow along if you want to, but this is NLT, New Living Translation. I believe you can get to heaven with all the translations. You know? When I was in Alabama, there was a guy, and he had King James 1611 on his church. And I asked somebody who came, somebody that used to go to that church and ended up going to the church that we were at, and I said, man, tell me about that. I said, is it that hard? He said, is it that hard? He said, it's King James 1611 only, black cover. I was like, woo. They even had it down to the color of the cover of the Bible. I'm like, no burgundies, no green, no blues. Come on. But I want you to get the message of the word. And I want you to get what God is saying. And I'm going to read this because it reads real well in the NLT. And then in a few minutes we don't have the translation on the computer. We've got several translations, but we don't have the NLT. So I'm going to read it to you. So you're just going to get to listen for a couple minutes to something really good, and then we'll use the New King James Version for the other scriptures that I got this morning, okay? Listen to this. This is what the Lord, this is the goodness of the Lord to those that love him. This is what King David wrote about the Lord. He said, O Lord, you have examined my heart, Psalm 139, I'm sorry. O Lord, you have examined my heart. You know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel, and when I rest at home, you know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness I cannot hide from you. To you the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. Now, this is where I want you to really focus in and hear this. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. Isn't that just beautiful? And it's true. And it circles around to agree with itself all throughout the Bible. And that's the God that we serve. You would waste your time to hide from God because he sees it all. We forget that. So we try to hide things from him. He sees it all. He knows it all. And he loves us anyway. Can you say God loves me anyway? Now let me tell you just a little bit something that describes how much God loves us and gives us a good encapsulated picture of it, because he loves us differently than we love. We've got one word for love. I've preached a lot of this couple sentences right here. I've preached before. We have one word for love because we love pizza and we love mama. We love our dog and we love God. And we use that one word. The Greeks had four words for the one word. They had a word for love that meant brotherly love. They had a word for love that meant family love. They had a word for love that meant intimate, even erotic love. They had a word for love that meant the love of God. Now, let me tell you about the love of God. It is so different from our love. I don't care who you are, you fit into this category. You ready for it? I saw one nod. It's going to hit you a little bit hard. God knew us according to foreknowledge. What does that mean? God knew us according to foreknowledge. It says before the foundations, in Ephesians, it says before the foundations of the world, he knew us. So to understand that, you've got to understand this. He knew us according to foreknowledge. So he knew all the bad you were going to do. And he knew all the good you were going to do. And he loved you anyway. Now let me explain the difference between the love of God and the love that we have. This is how we love. When we love somebody, what we are actually saying is that I love you based on all of your performance up to this point. Think about that. That's why some people look different 20 years later than they did on their wedding day. I should save that probably for the marriage thing. Well, what happened there? Well, the knowledge that they had up to the point made them love the other person until all of a sudden something happened, and all of a sudden some of that love got interrupted because of some behavior that took place. Aren't you glad that God loved us according to foreknowledge? So he knew the whole thing. So let me write out this word. I got to be careful with my board today because I need to save. I need to save about this much room. So I'll write around that. Okay? We were talking about this word, predestined, that old scary word, predestined means before, and that means an end. It's a contradicting word. It contradicts itself before the ending. And this is what predestined means. I believe in predestination. I love it because this is what predestined means. Before my ending, God went all the way to my ending. And this was John being born right here. That's my whole life. You know, probably 125, 126 years. This is what God did with my life. He went to the end of my life and he wrote it. Now all I've got to do is walk in it. Step by step, day by day. And he promised that he would love me according to foreknowledge. He went to the end of my life. He wrote it. And he loved me according to foreknowledge. He did not base it on my performance. Because I promise you this. There's times in my life when my performance has been pretty sketchy. Now, be honest with yourself. There's times in your life when your performance has been pretty sketchy. The good thing about God is he didn't base my salvation on my performance. God based my salvation on his performance. That's how much I can really love him and buy into him and believe in him, because all my days, he knows about it. He knows about my good days and my bad days. And that's why he's got scripture in there that says things like this, that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. So if you're going to write a scripture that says all things, it can't be like Facebook where we just show just the highlights. There's got to be some lowlights in there. I've got to believe that God can redeem even the bad stuff and the worst stuff of my life. I've got to believe that. That's what keeps me going. Because if I don't believe that, then the enemy is able to attack my mind with my past. Has the enemy ever tried to attack your mind with your past? That's why we preached the other week about my spirit is saved, my mind is being saved, my flesh ain't saved. You remember that? And we gave scriptural evidence of all of that. My flesh still knows how to do everything it did before I got saved. And here's the crazy thing. It still wants to do it. And we can church that up and holy that up and act that up and act like it's something that religion that up, act like it's something that's not. But your flesh, if you got flesh, it still wants to run wild. At this church, I'm going to tell you the truth. Your flesh still wants to run wild, but you got to control it. Most of the enemy, I know that there are demons and stuff like that, but Satan's one person. God can be everywhere. The scripture just said he goes before me and behind me. He leads me and he follows me. It's kind of like what a parent does. Go this way, son, and then they're but make sure. And then this way, you ever turn your kid's head in the direction you want them to go in? Like, they don't get it. Like, I said, go there, and they're just there. It almost seems mean, but they don't get it any other way. I love to hunt and stuff like this. Every now and again, you'll see these videos where they're trying not to alert the deer, and the cameraman is watching the hunter, and he's watching the whole set, but the cameraman sees something that the hunter doesn't see, and the hunter's just sitting there, you know, picking his nose or looking around. All of a sudden, you see the guy's head go down, and he's like, and reaching for his bow and all this stuff. Well, that's how it is. Sometimes we need somebody to put our head the direction and the thing that we need to see, so that we can see it too, right? So this thing about predestination and the love of God being something that he loved me according to foreknowledge, it's an amazing thing. You know, I've preached the word adoption before, that that the coolest thing I love about adoption is that if you've ever, we've had several in this congregation who have adopted. It's a beautiful thing because they bring you this file and they show you everything that is going on in the child, and they might talk about health issues or they might talk about behavioral issues, and you look at all those things and you wrap your mind around it and you've got to make a decision. Can I love little Johnny? Can I love little Susan? Even though they come with this. Well, God knew what I was going to come with, and he loved me anyway, and he adopted me, right? We're adopted sons and daughters. So he saw the good, bad, and the ugly, and he said, I choose you. Well, according to foreknowledge, he knew all the crap that I was going to get into. He said, I still love you. That's a love like no other. It's incomparable love. You can't compare it to anything else, okay? So where did I put my glasses? There they are. That was about as far as I could see them, about another 2 inches, and I'd be like, where are they really? Look at Ephesians 1, verse 11 and 12, and just pull up 11 first. This is going to be in the New King James Version, and I'm just going to read it like you're going to read it off of one of these boards. For Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 11. It's not coming up there for some reason, so I'll turn around. We lost it. It's okay, Emily. It's all right. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. That's this whole thing, the first 10 verses of Ephesians is talking about our identity. It's talking about who we are in Christ. So it's established that we are in Christ. So it picks it up right here. In him, in Christ also, we have obtained an inheritance. Now, in a few sentences in verse 12, it's going to tell you what that inheritance is. But it says that we have obtained an inheritance. When we get saved and Christ lives inside of us, there's an inheritance that we get, okay? Being predestined, him going to my end, writing it, and coming back and allowing me to live out what he wrote. According to the purpose of him who works all things. See, there's that word all again. You can't say all and it just be the pretty part. You can't say all and it just be the icing. It can't be just the highlights. It's got lowlights in there. But he is able to work all things according to the counsel of his will. Now, here comes the inheritance. That we, look at your neighbor and say, that means you, who first trusted in Christ, should be to the praise of his glory. All right, just leave that right there. Yeah, I heard that amen. That's a good place to say amen right here because I'm going to explain it to you. If you didn't say it in a few seconds, I think you're going to say amen. Here's the inheritance that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Now leave it up. When we think of inheritance, in order for us to truly inherit something, someone has to die. Otherwise, you're an heir. And it doesn't happen until somebody, you don't inherit until somebody dies. Well, Jesus died. And what he left is for you. Okay? But so in thinking of an inheritance, naturally what we think is when grandma died, she left me an inheritance. And my inheritance is something that I get. Right? But he doesn't say anything about getting in this scripture. The inheritance he's talking about is not getting, it's being. We think we're supposed to get something. God thinks we're supposed to be something. This is the inheritance that you should be in Christ. You should be to the praise of his glory. That's why it is so important for you to know who you are so that you can reflect Christ that is in you. When it says that we are to be to the praise of his glory, you can go all the way back to Genesis and figure it out that we were made in his image. We were made in his image. Amen? Doesn't it say that? We were made in his image. Okay? So that the fact that we are supposed to be to the praise of his glory means that we are actually supposed to be a reflection of himself. Okay? We are actually supposed to be a mirroring of him. We're supposed to be a representation of Jesus Christ on this earth. We're actually supposed to be thank you. That little syllable helped me. A recognition of him in this world. So when I see you, I'm supposed to see Jesus in you. You are supposed to be displaying Christ. Your life is actually supposed to be Christ on display. How's that going? I promise to be nice, because I'm going through it too. But that is his will, is for us to be on display. We're already made in his image, so we are supposed to reflect him in this earth, okay? He knows how it all plays out. So I've used this mirror a few weeks. And some of us spend more time in front of the mirror than others. Some of us should probably spend more time in front of the mirror. I'm done. I go get a shower in like 3 minutes. I'm done. And I'm like, honey, you ready? Like, I threw something on her yesterday. She had just got back. She rushed home to get there for something. I needed her for something. And I told Walker, I said, son, let's go get in the car. I'll meet you in the car. I was just going to go cool the car off. Here comes Miss Mom marching down the steps. She came over to the window. She goes, I rolled the window down. She had that look in her eye. She said, now why did you say that you were just going to run to the car? You know, if you just told me that, I need a few minutes. Look at her. This is her when she, if y'all can't see, this is her when she gets embarrassed. I want y'all to see it. It's awesome. Can y'all see it? You can't make excuses. You can't say your side when I got the mic. What do you think this is? It's my turn. She said, you can't throw this on me. I said, I'm just cooling the car off. It's all. She's like, okay. I proceeded to wait a while. And when she came down, I told her how beautiful she was, and she was. And I tell her that all the time. You don't even need makeup. You don't need nothing. You just need to get under my arm. That's all you need. You know. But some of us spend more time in front of a mirror. And we stay there because what we see, we know is a reflection of who we are. My wife tells me all the time. She started buying clothes for me. She's like, John, you can't wear that to Walmart. And you help, and you're on her side. That's my mother-in-law. She's on her side. I never win anything with them. All I can do is simply agree. But this is my life. This is how it goes. They tell me, you can't go to Walmart like that. I was like, what's wrong with black socks and Crocs? Hey, Walmart is scary already. Did y'all see that thing about terrorists at Walmart in Rock Hill? That I guess nothing happened. Did anything happen? Okay, good. Because I thought, but Walmart in Rock Hill can be terrifying as it is. There's always a threat of terror. Woo! Anyway, back to the message. So we spend time in front of a mirror because there's a way that we want to present ourselves to people, right? Most of us. Myself not included. Some of us have gotten victory over that and don't even care anymore. But I've been told I need to start caring some more. But there's a way that we see ourselves. And let me tell you what there is also. There's a way that other people see you, right? And then there's a third thing. There's a way that God sees you. And that's the right thing. And what God is looking for is his reflection on you. That he sees himself. That's all he's looking for. And there they are again. I don't even know who that is, but they always blow going by this time on Sunday. So bless them. Unless there's a cat that is so, that is on a pattern anyway. That didn't make sense. But so here's the thing. God sees us in a certain way. And the most important thing about that is that we need to believe the way that he sees us, that we can start seeing ourselves the way he sees us. Because a lot of people believe that he only looks at us in judgment. He only looks at you as the bad thing that you are, the bad thing that you've done. And we don't even help that in the church world. We are bad about labeling people according to something that they did. You know, the guy with the scar on his face. You know, the lady that walks with a cane. You know, the one that did that. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? That's a shame. We should be ashamed whenever we do things like that. Honestly, I don't want to be labeled and remembered for the worst thing I ever did. And neither do you. It's a lesson in grace, really. And I'm going to tell my wife something really good that I think is special. And it's another reason why I love her so much. That Brad and Karen, one of the things that we were talking about them is, she said, Christine, one of your problems is this. Don't you love it when you got people that can tell you your problem and they love you enough to tell it to you instead of beat around the bush? I said, Christine, you've got grace for everybody in the world except yourself. The opposite side of that is a lot of people have grace for themselves and nobody else. And that's why I love that woman so, so much. So, y'all do too. So, I have to let God be the mirror. So, there's this study that went on many years ago. Before I say that, let me do this. I got to make sure I write this down right. So, this is what I saved room for. You can shout it out whenever you figure it out. Wish y'all could see what I see. I see it perfectly. Ambulance. Don't you wish you had a rearview mirror like that? Wouldn't that be awesome? Now some of y'all die. You'd be like, it'd be over. But that, there's no way for me to help you see that, but trust me, it reads ambulance perfectly. And if you've ever been in traffic and had an ambulance come up behind you, you read ambulance perfectly. But in order for you to read it perfectly in your rearview mirror, it has to be written in reverse at face value. Okay? How many of you know that God went to my end of my life, he wrote it, and now I just have to walk it out? The thing about a mirror is that it shows you everything in reverse. You see it in reverse. And the truth about God is that he sees your whole life, but you're living it more backwards to him than forward to him because he already knows things. Can I tell you this about people that I said I can't write, but I've studied some writing, and I actually went to a writing class. It was a songwriting class, and it was the most embarrassing thing I think I've ever taken a part of. It was the saddest thing. And my daughter and my wife, they can write stuff. I mean, on the cuff, they can write stuff, but it is pitiful what I came up with. But I found this about people that write books and those that write movies and scripts and stuff like this. The most impactful written stories are the ones that started at the end and wrote it backwards to the beginning. That's why they can throw all those crazy moves in there and nobody saw it coming. Let me tell you this about the God that you serve. He saw it coming. I made a statement before Kinsey went to be with the Lord. I made a statement that has come back to bite me sometimes, so many times, and even some of you have repeated it to me. And I said this, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? You remember that? I said that many times. Scott, you told me I said that. Well, I've had to come back and digest that thing like chewing the cud. That thing's been thrown up to me, and I got to chew through that thing again. It has to be in my mind that I accept the fact that I have to know, and it has to occur to me, that nothing has ever occurred to God. And my confidence is that he loves me according to foreknowledge, is that he knew everything that was going to happen, and he still loved me, and he still stands ready to help me. The scripture says he goes in front of me, and he comes behind me. God's got me surrounded. Can you look at your neighbor and tell God's got you surrounded? So this last thing that I'm going to tell you is this. In about 2006 to 2008, I can't remember, it's one of those years, there was a study that was going on. They had these monkeys with the little, what are those things called? Transmitters, probes? Electrodes. They had those attached to these monkeys. And they were studying these monkeys, and there was a moment of discovery when they weren't doing anything except for doing natural things in movement. And the monkeys were just sitting there watching. But they had these electrodes. So I'm a monkey sitting there watching. I don't know exactly what it was. Well, he reached and grabbed a cup. And the monkey never moved. The monkeys never moved. But all of a sudden, in their brain, something fired. And it had something to do with a command center in their mind. When they saw the man reach for something, in their mind, they reached for something. Even though they didn't move, but they figured that out. And that's crazy to me to think that those things can happen. Now, I am not standing here saying that we came from monkeys. Monkeys came from God. I came from God. My mom, you'd have to know her, but she was five foot something, but not much more. And she's still living. I said, knew her. Whatever. She's still living, but she had this little bun on her head. Y'all remember them little church ladies that had the buns on their head? Finally, one year, she cut her hair. And she was waiting. When she presented herself to everybody, she's like, I ain't never cut my hair in my whole life. I told her, I said, Mom, it's okay. It's good to see you come out from under bondage. Yeah. She liked that one. She just laughed and cackled. But she went to, after my dad passed away, she went back to school. She got her master's degree at Winthrop University. And one of the professors in one of her required classes was talking about how we came from monkeys. And she said, you know, I took it for a minute, but I couldn't take it much more. And she said, I raised my hand, and he's like, you got a question? She said, I don't believe that we came from monkeys. And it was really offensive to the professor. And so he said, you know, I don't, well, he just said, oh, so you don't believe You interrupt my class to tell us that you don't believe that we came from monkeys. And he said, well, let's just open up to the whole class. He wanted to embarrass her. How many of you agree with Miss Morgan right here that we don't come from monkeys? And all of a sudden, one hand came up and another hand came up. And then it got the whole hand, everybody's hands came up except for two people, the professor and somebody else. And then she said this, she said, now, you might believe that you came from a monkey, but I didn't come from no monkey. I was like, go, Mom. You're so awesome. But anyway, the study made them start doing something to where they started testing humans. And as they tested humans, they found out that the Word of God is true, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. There's something that happens inside of us. They had to give it a name. And the name that they give it is that they gave it was mirror neurons. That they discovered that inside the human brain, we have mirror neurons. And those mirror neurons do this. When they see you doing something, they associate it with it to where they feel like they're doing it. Or they remember when they were doing the same thing. It's like you can see somebody smile or laugh, and you can look at them, and all of a sudden you kind of smile and laugh, and you don't even know what they're smiling or laughing about, but it triggers something in you, and you kind of want to see what they're smiling and laughing about, but it made you go there, right? Have you ever been in another setting where things were really good, and all of a sudden you see somebody just falling apart, and you look at them, and all of a sudden you're like, and you get very concerned about that, and compassion is it's a mirror neuron. The thing where you smile, that's a mirror neuron that's going on. And God made that inside of us to be that way. Guys that love sports, have you ever seen somebody crack, pow, hit a home run, and you just like, you just felt that. You're like, I think I could do it too. No, you couldn't, but you felt like you could, right? That was a mirror neuron that was going on, okay? So here's the beauty of this thing. God is already, he didn't just say, here's an inheritance that I'm going to give you. Is that you are to be to the praise of this, of my glory. He actually equipped you with the ability for that to happen. And it's all in your perspective. And it's all in you touching your identity and knowing who you are. And not worrying about how you think you look. And not worrying about how you think other people think you look. Only concerning yourself with what God thinks you look like. Because this is what will happen. This is why, because of Christ in me, because of foreknowledge, because of me believing that God loves me anyway, and that he's gone to my end and fixed it. So whenever I find something in my life that does not make sense, because of Christ in me, I can still stand and say, I'm going to make this. I'm going to come through this. God is going to be glorified in this. This is not going to take me down. This will not last forever. And the enemy does not get this victory. But this is what it looks like. When you're going through the trials of your life, and when you could very well be at home in bed with your covers over you in a near fetal position, crying your eyes out, wondering how you're going to make it. Instead of doing that, you've tapped into Christ inside of you. Hallelujah. And you're standing right here. And she starts playing the song. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. And all of a sudden, you're worshiping God, and you're a reflection of Him. But somebody else sees you, and they're going through something. And because of that ability that He put inside of their mind to go to where you're at, they can say, if they're going through that and they're worshiping Him, I can worship Him what I'm going through. wonderfully made. Christine, will you come? In order for this to be the effective place where we can really come in one way and leave another and gain perspective, we have to be real with ourselves. It can't be a place where we tell the little white lie. Hey, Susan, how are you doing this morning? Well, I'm doing good. And she's not lying. The lie is getting ready to come. Well, how are you doing, Pastor John? I'm doing good. Lie. It can't be that. And it doesn't have to be the place where, Susan, my life just sucks right now. Let me just tell you about it. And just bleed all over her. But it can be the place that it ain't great, but it ain't going to stay this way.
Amen.
Can't.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, Susan sees the real side about me, like, oh, Pastor's, man, he's feeling it, but I feel it too. I believe God's going to help help Pastor John get through this. You know what I mean? And we start moving towards victory. He's already set it up. He knows the end of the story.
Yes.
Like I said, if we're supposed to be a reflection, the thing about the mirror is that it shows things in reverse. He's writing a real good story. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And you're the main subject of that story, and you have to walk it out. You have to put one step in front of the other. I don't know how many times we've said this to each other. I don't know how I'm going to do this. There's things about my life that aren't appealing as it was 8 months ago. But I'm going to get there one step at a time because God knew all this. And it didn't just occur to him. But we got to be completely honest with ourselves. That's the place we've got to get to, where we're completely honest. And I know there's others in this room. I can see it on some of your face. You're broken. You're hurting.
John, can I share something?
Yes.
I'm just, I've got to decide to do this. What he's saying is true. What he's saying is the truth. God's writing your story. But here's the thing about your story. He went to the end of your story. And your story is fixed. And it's fixed because of the cross of Jesus. Her whole story is fixed, and this is the end. It doesn't matter if your story looks like this. The end is victory. And here's the other thing. This may be your birth date. This may be the day you leave this earth. But your story goes on. And we often think this is where it ends. And if it's miserable and if things never get fixed out, my daughter is gone. I will never see her again as long as I live. As long as I live. But my story's fixed. And it's victorious because after this, I will be with her forever. If you're sick, if you have nothing but struggle right here, the good news for you is this is what matters. Eternity is what matters. It's fixed. Can you say in your hearts this morning, it's fixed. If we focus on here, you will never, ever make it. You will never make it if you focus on the disappointments and that it's all supposed to happen here. How many of you know that we're coming back to this earth to reign with Christ forever? So this is not it. Don't get your focus on this. God already fixed your story, and there's victory. Even if it's not realized in this life, there's victory for eternity. Does that make sense? People can look at what we're going through right now and think, well, what's the victory in that? The victory is in she knew Christ. And that when this happens, my heart will never be whole until this day. There's a part, I'm not going to live in the brokenness, though. I'm going to say, when this day comes, this will be a vapor, and I will be with her forever. That's what matters.
Amen. If I really believe that victory's happening, this is how I believe that God looks at my life. Every day I take a step forward, I'm moving closer to the victory.
Yes.
And this is what I got to believe. Usually if I thought I was going to victory, I'd look like a finish line. And as I get closer to the finish line and I look back and I've got everybody beat, the crowd is still cheering. And even if it's a crowd of people that are running together, they're cheering because they want to see one win. And the Bible says, Paul said, run like you want to win the race. You can hear cheers getting louder and louder. But in my life, I don't really hear those cheers. What I've got to believe is that the Holy Ghost is cheering me on.
Yes, yes.
When I don't hear anything else going on, I got to believe every day I take a step forward, the Holy Ghost is cheering me on. And that's what I've got. Yes. So you got to fix your mind on the eternal, on the things that aren't seen. I want you to be encouraged. Every day that you breathe His oxygen, you're moving towards victory. Doesn't have to look like victory, but if you believe that He's fixed it and you are predestined to win and the victory is already won, you're just walking it out. Walk strong. Walk strong. Walk with your head up. Walk with your shoulders squared. Position yourself for the position that you're in. Position yourself for the condition that you're in. And move on in the Lord. Okay? I wish we could sing that song, This Is How I Fight My Battles.
We can. Would you stand? This is what I just really feel this morning, is that let this be, as you stand, let this be a proclamation that wherever I am in my walk, I'm going to put one foot in front of the other.
Yes.
And it may look like I'm surrounded, but the truth is I'm surrounded by the victory of God.
Yes.
I'm surrounded by Him, and this is how I'm going to fight my battle. I'm going to take one step at a time. I'm going to take the next step. Can we sing it?
This is how I fight my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You. It may look like I'm surrounded, I'm surrounded.
One step in front of the other.
This is how I fight my battles. 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 I won't stop moving. This is how I fight my battles. 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 Oh, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You.
He goes before us and behind us.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You. 'Cause this is how I fight my battles. 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 This is how I fight my battles.
Can you just raise your hands?
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Oh, this is how I fight my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. 'Cause this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight. This is how we fight. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight. Whoa.
Come on, can you just claim victory right now? Can you just say, Lord, help me see it? Help me see it right. Help me see it how you see it, say it, how your word says it. I'm not surrounded by my enemy. I'm surrounded by you, God. They that be for me, be greater than those that be against me. And I give you praise for it, Lord.
Yes.
God, I just speak over your people today. Let them walk in victory every day of their life. Let there not be one day of their life that they are defeated. It doesn't matter what comes against them. Every day that they take a step towards the victory, the ultimate victory that you have through your cross, Jesus. And we ask it in your name, Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Praise his holy name. Can you see it now?
Yes.
Can you see it better? Can you see it clearly? I'm walking towards victory. Look at your neighbor and tell him, yes, you are. Yes, you are. You're walking towards victory. Amen. God bless you as you go this morning. Walk in victory.
Yes.